saying of old, well said, that the praise of God is the choice of sacrifice and worship under a dispensation of redeeming grace. This is the prime and the eternal part of worship under the gospel. Truly, all of us that have received the salvation by the Lord Jesus Christ, and by His wonderful grace, have been redeemed, have much for which we can be truly thankful. There is much for which we can look to the Lord and say, thanks be to God. And there are many things for us to consider tonight, yet I realize that we live in a world that is becoming more and more thankless. Our society has forsaken the simple courtesy of gratitude, and that has become a lost art for those to learn to simply say, thank you, or to be thankful in all things. We live in a world where people feel entitled and have long forgotten that everything that we have and all that we possess comes from another. God has provided us all things. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It has been said that there are two kinds of people in this world. There are those who take things for granted, and there are those who take things with gratitude. As a Christian, there should spring forth from our lips continually words of praise, which rise from a heart of gratitude. We ought to be a people most thankful. We ought to be a people that is able to quickly say and state why we can thank God for all that He has done. There should be upon our lips continually the words of praise. Tonight I've asked you to turn to Hebrews chapter 13. I want to look at verse 15 and verse 16 of this chapter together. And here the writer of Hebrews gives us two simple thoughts with respect to the thought of thanksgiving. Look with me at these verses, please, and then we'll pause for a word of prayer. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Tonight from this passage, I want you to see simply two things with me. I want you to see the sacrifice of our thanksgiving, followed by the service of our thanksgiving. Let's pray together, and then we'll take up those two thoughts together this evening. Our Father, we thank You and we praise You for this opportunity to be able to come and study together the Word of God, which reminds us that we ought to be a people most thankful. For Lord, all that we have comes from You. Every blessing, every good gift is from above. Lord, You take all things and work them together for good to them who love God and to them who are the called according to Your purpose. And Lord, You are the one who providentially leads. We know the Bible says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in our way. Though we fall, we will not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds us with His hands. Now, Lord, as we live and as we go, we understand that underneath are the everlasting arms. We are a people that are in Your care. Father, when we are weak and in need, we can come boldly to the throne of grace and there to find mercy and help in time of need. So, Father, there is truly much for which we can be thankful. And, Lord, I pray tonight that as we consider the sacrifice of our praise and the service of our praise, that, Lord, if our heart tonight is not filled with thanksgiving, that by the time that we come to the end of the study of Your Word, that our lips will be filled with praise for our God. So Lord, we'll thank You and praise You for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As we begin tonight to consider the challenge that's laid before us, we want to consider the sacrifice of our thanksgiving. And as we consider the sacrifice of our thanksgiving tonight, I want you to see three basic thoughts with me concerning the sacrifice of our praise. Again, verse 15 says, by Him therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. We are to offer to God the sacrifice of our praise. We are to be a thankful people, and from our lips should come forth our praise for God. I want you to notice three things about that sacrifice of praise. Number one, I want you to notice that our sacrifice is to focus on a person. Our sacrifice is to focus on a person. The author states that by him we are to offer our sacrifice of praise to God. He is pointing us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And actually, if you jump back to verse 12, it tells us who the hymn is. It says, "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." And so when you come to down to verse 15, the "by him" is referring us back to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the focus of our praise. He is the focus of our thankfulness. By him and for what Jesus Christ has done, let us offer our praise unto God. Tonight we gather to remember him. He is the center and the focus of why we worship week upon week. We come that we might worship him, the Lamb that was slain, who is worthy of our worship. He who sacrificed without the gate, he who suffered for our cause that we might be redeemed, by him let us offer the sacrifice of our praise. We're being reminded of Calvary and of the precious blood that's been shed. So as we gather to worship week after week, we do so with a focus on Jesus Christ and on him alone. He is worthy of that preeminence. The sad reality is that too much of what takes place in the name of worship has very little to do with the person of Jesus Christ. Much of what is done today in the name of worship is not worship. It is done for the praise of men and not for the praise of the Savior. Again, we said even this morning in our message again that all that we do is designed that it might bring glory to God. That Jesus Christ's name be exalted. That men would look to God and see him. Even our good works, even by letting our light shine, the Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and not offer to you praise, but glorify your Father which is in heaven." What we do is to be done in order that Jesus Christ be praised. Sometimes in the realm of worship, people become offended because there's no lack of recognition for what they've done. Sometimes we become offended because someone didn't compliment us for what we did that day for the Lord. Sometimes we're quick to want to receive the praise of men, and we would rather flaunt our position than we would to point folks to the Lord Jesus Christ. But worship is to be centered, our praise is to be centered on Christ. By him, we are to offer our praise to the Lord. He is the center, the focus of our worship. True worship revolves around giving our sacrifice of praise unto Christ. By him, we have received eternal life. By him, we have a hope that is eternal. By him, we have been granted peace and joy. And so the focus of our praise ought to be in the person of Jesus Christ. I like the words that H.A. Ironside shared concerning worship. He said, "The highest worship is when the saint of God enters by faith into the holiest, passing through the veil and prostrating himself before the throne of the eternal, there to gaze with adoring love and gratitude upon our blessed Lord Jesus Christ, who now sits exalted on the Father's throne. There can be no true worship apart from our occupation with him." Our worship is to be occupied with Jesus Christ. We are to offer the sacrifice of our praise to Jesus Christ through him. Because of him, we should be thankful. You know, the reality is there may not be much this year that you look back upon and say, circumstantially, there's much to be thankful for. Circumstances don't always lead us to be thankful, but Christ does. See, life is not centered on the circumstances. Life is to be centered on Jesus Christ. What's the writer of Hebrews say in chapter 12? Where are we to be looking? Unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Life isn't always going to present to you circumstances for which you should be thankful, because not every circumstance is a good one. Sometimes bad things happen. But Jesus Christ should be the center of why we are thankful. I think of Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. By the way, by the statement, be anxious for nothing, that implies that anxiety is produced sometimes by the circumstances that we face. Yet the way we respond to them is to bring our petitions to the Lord in a spirit of gratitude and thankfulness. Why? Because our thanksgiving is centered on a person. Second, I want you to notice with me that our sacrifice is to be in the form of praise. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. It is our responsibility to offer God praise. Praise and thankfulness ought to be the natural response of one that has received of the bounty of God's grace. We are responsible to offer the sacrifice of praise. I can remember years ago talking to a lady who had been afflicted with a physical problem, and she was challenged by her preacher to understand that she ought to offer God thanks for what she was going through. That didn't make a whole lot of sense to her. And it may not make a whole lot of sense to you. But I remember talking to her, and she said, you know what? When I understood that I needed to be thankful even for this thing, because God is worthy of my praise, it is a matter of my sacrifice, it is a matter of my service to Him, because He alone is worthy. She said, God didn't take away the affliction, but I found the truth of 2 Corinthians 12. That my grace is sufficient for thee. When she could honestly say, Lord, I want to thank you even for this affliction that I have to face, she said, I found God's grace sufficient every day. By the way, that affliction lasted for about another 10 years before the Lord finally removed it from her. But the reality is, we are offered a God the sacrifice of our praise. It's the natural response because we have received of God's grace. What do we offer God thanks for? Well, folks, I think the Bible teaches us that we offer praise for life, physical and eternal, that God has given. It is God who gives life. It is God who takes away life. Job said, naked came I into this world, and naked shall I return thither. Blessed be the name of the Lord. It is God who is the giver of life. And every day that we have upon this earth is a blessing from Almighty God. But folks, not just physical life, we ought to be thankful for spiritual life. Because folks, even if our life here on earth ends, the physical part might come to the end of its journey, but the spiritual life really begins. For then I will see my Savior face to face. I will behold Him. I'll be with Him. For absent from the body is present with the Lord. There is thankfulness because of life, both physical and spiritual. I ought to be thankful for the life that God has given to me. I ought to be thankful for the common blessings that the Lord provides. You know, there are some blessings that God provides right across the board to all mankind. Think about some of them with me. He provides for us our daily bread. Does he not? How many of you within the last year have starved and gone hungry? Very few of us. God provides for our daily needs. God supplies the rain that fills our wells. We need that rain, do we not? Oh, I wish we get a little less, but we still need it nonetheless. I found it interesting that after a while of some sun this summer, people began to say, "Boy, can't believe I'm saying this in Newfoundland. I wish it would rain." I think that's kind of interesting. We complain about the rain that always falls, and then when the sun shines for about 15 days, we go, "Boy, we need rain." But we do need rain, and God provides the rain. But you know what? God also provides the sun that dries the wood that'll heat the home in the winter. And sometimes God even provides a storm that knocks over the trees that provides the wood for other people that they might not freeze in the winter. See, those are blessings that God provides to all of us. But we also ought to praise God for His special blessings. Think about the fact that, folks, God supplies your continual mercy and forgives us of our daily sins. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Do you struggle with daily sin still? Boy, it'd be nice to say, "Well, you know, I've kind of reached that point in my life where I no longer sin." I wish that was true, but I know it's not. We still struggle, don't we? We struggle with our tempers. We struggle with thought processes of worry and other things. We struggle with the things in that little device in our mouth that always seems to get us in trouble, that little tongue that can cause a great fire. We struggle with those things. We struggle with our attitudes at work. We struggle with them at home. We struggle in our relationships with our family. We struggle with it, people at church. We go through these things. We have a problem with sin. God provides the forgiveness and restoration that we need when we come and confess our sin. He provides us the grace that sustains us in the days of our adversity. Again, we've already referenced the verse there in 2 Corinthians 12, "But my grace is sufficient for thee." God supplies His sustaining grace. You might wake up in the morning and you're in a great deal of pain and there's much work that needs to be done, yet God gets you through the day. And God lays your head down upon the pillow that you might sleep and get the rest that you need. He sustains us in the days of our adversity. His love that overshadows us and keeps us from evil. Folks, do you realize that the Bible says He gives His angels charge over you? And you and I don't even recognize half the time the fact that God and His love overshadowing us and how He protects us. And there are some of you that His angels work a whole lot harder because you get behind the wheel of a car. Okay? I've watched some drive around here, and it's frightening. Although I think Leanne's doing a pretty good job. I don't hear if she's hit anything yet. But you know what? God protects us. He watches over us. You could probably go back through the course of this year, and you could probably, if you thought hard enough, thought about some of the things that you've been involved with and realize that God kept you and God protected you and He watched over you. We had an example not all that long ago here at church. Someone decided on a Sunday morning to bring a car and torch it right behind our building. Thankfully, they parked far away enough that the building never caught fire. Melted some siding. That's okay. But God still protected even from those who sought to do evil. Why? Because He is watching over us, and in love He sustains us. For that we ought to be thankful. We can give God praise for family and friends. We ought to praise God for the church that He has given, a church that will preach the gospel, a place that we can come to have fellowship, a place that we can come and find spiritual refreshment, whether that be in a Sunday school class, or whether that be through the avenue of service, or whether that be in an opportunity to sit in a service such as this. There is a place that we can come and worship. You know, there are some places, even within our country, folks, that because of their remote destination, they don't have a full-time pastor. They don't have someone who can come and be there for two services a day. They get one a day, one a week. There are some places like that, even still in Atlanta, Canada. If God has provided you a place that you're able to support a pastor full-time and meet the needs of his family, that you might be able to have some consistency within a pulpit and men beyond your pastor who are able to teach and preach the Word of God in a Sunday school setting, in other places, in other types of ministry, that the Word of God can go forth. We have that opportunity. There are some places that don't have that. We ought to be thankful for those things. There is much for which we can be thankful, and it ought to be seen in our lips offering to God our praise. You know, there is nothing more disheartening than to hear God's people complain and murmur. You go through the Old Testament, folks, and the one thing that seemed to bug God more than anything else about his people was their murmuring and their complaining. And there is nothing more distasteful sometimes to the eyes of God than a people to whom he has blessed much, to which all they do is murmur and complain. We ought to offer the sacrifice of our praise. But third, I want you to notice something with me. Our sacrifice is to flow perpetually. That we, by him, would offer the sacrifice of our praise to God. Don't miss this word. Continually. We are to perpetually offer to God our praise. Our praise and the sacrifice of our thanksgiving ought not cease. Ephesians 5 and verse 20 tells us, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In all things, always being thankful. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18 says, in everything, give thanks. Notice the qualifier. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything? Yes. In everything, give thanks. Folks, I think we often fail to fulfill that commandment. In everything, there should be within your heart and mind a spirit of thanksgiving. You say, but Pastor, that doesn't make sense when the trials seem to be around me, when things seem to be so hard. But folks, what does Philippians 1:6 say? That he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. Where does the scripture say that God's work in your life to make you more like Christ only involves good things and an easy road? Where does it say that? In fact, the scripture is going to teach us that God will use trials in the life to perfect us, to make us more like him. In everything, we need to give thanks. The sacrifice of our praise needs to be perpetual. But I want you to notice verse 16, because in verse 16 we see the service of our thanksgiving. It says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. When we realize the wondrous blessings that have been bestowed upon us, and when we learn to offer our praise to the Lord, we're also going to realize and understand that it's important that we serve Christ as part of our thanksgiving. God says we are to offer the sacrifice of our praise to God continually. And then in verse 16 he says, do good and communicate. Don't forget those things. There is service that ought to follow from a heart that is thankful. Not only do we offer to God our sacrifice of praise, but because of a thankful heart, we are to offer to Him our service. The author of Hebrews tells us that our service will include benevolence and blessing. We are not to forget the importance of doing good. That's our benevolence. We ought to do good, especially to those of the household of faith. But we ought to do good unto all men. Why? Because we understand what God has done for us. We understand the blessings that Jesus Christ has bestowed. You say, Pastor, how do you see that? I see it in what we do tonight. I'm reminded month upon month that His body was broken and His blood was shed that I might be redeemed. Why did Jesus Christ go to that cross? Because I'm a sinner who needed to be saved. And so are you. And folks, He did good unto us, and we ought to in turn do good unto all men. But we ought to also communicate, and that's a form of blessing. Christianity and true thankfulness is more than just words that are spoken. It should be actions that are lived out. We that have received of the goodness of God and have truly developed the heart of thankfulness should seek to spread that good unto others. For you and I to take things for granted and not to do good, folks, really is ludicrous on our part. God says we are to offer the sacrifice of our praise and do good. But He also says we ought to communicate. The idea there is we ought to share with others. And the greatest thing that we can share with others is what God has done for us. We ought to share the good news of the gospel. We ought to share the good things that God is doing in our life. That's why we have an opportunity, just a few moments, to offer the sacrifice of our praise. You know what happens when you praise? When you're willing to stand up and say, I'm going to tell you what God did in my life and how He's been working in me. What that does is that brings blessing to those who hear, if their heart is in any way in tune to the things of God. That encourages the heart. Others who might be discouraged can find a renewed hope as they hear what God is doing. Sometimes, folks, when we're going through the hardship, we begin to become discouraged because we think, no one else has gone through this. No one else is suffering like I am. And then someone stands up in a service like ours and says, I'm going to tell you, things haven't been all that great this year. As a matter of fact, this is what's been going on. And the reality is, God has been good to me. Life goes on, and we say, you know what? I guess I'm not alone. I guess I'm not the only one. I guess it really isn't as bad as I made it up to be. And maybe I've been a little bit selfish, and maybe the reality is I need to be focused again on the Lord Jesus Christ for all that He has done for me. The greatest truth that we can ever communicate is the truth of the gospel. We have received the greatest blessing, a home in heaven, an eternity with Jesus Christ. Ought to be willing to offer the sacrifice of our praise to the lost who know not Christ. They need to hear, do they not? Your co-workers need to hear what Jesus Christ has done for you. I like the words of Peter in which he said, be ready to, always to give a reason of the hope that lieth within you. You know where that hope sometimes comes, and the reasons or when that communication will happen? Folks, they'll see it because you first of all did good. Through the testimony of your life, by the way that you are, by the demeanor of your spirit while you're at work, by your hard work, by your responsibility, someone will come to you and say, can you tell me what makes you so different from everybody else? Be ready to give a reason of the hope that lies within you. And communicate to them the good news, the sacrifice of praise of God's goodness in your life. Folks, we ought to be a people most thankful. We ought to be offering to God continually the praise of our lips, there is much to be thankful. You may look back over this year and say, there's not a single circumstance for which I can be thankful. I think your perspective is a little skewed. There may be some circumstances that were very hard. But if you really took the time to look, you're going to find there's much to be thankful for. And in everything, we need to give thanks. Offering to God the sacrifice of the praise of our lips continually unto our God, for He is worthy of our praise, primarily because He died for you and me. He shed His blood upon the cross of Calvary. Folks, God was under no obligation to save you. He had every right and would have been just to condemn you for eternity to hell because of sin. But God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet a sinner, He died for us. And no greater love hath man than this, than that a man lay down his life for his friends. Yet He did it for an enemy, because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. We ought to offer God the sacrifice of our praise because He was the Lamb that was slain. By the way, I believe probably one of the first choruses that we will ever be involved with in heaven is to offer to Him, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain." And folks, I don't think through eternity we will tire to offer to God that praise in our lips. And I think we ought to offer that to Him continually upon our life in all that we do. Let's pray together, please, as we close.